2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball. It's Wednesday, November 25th, 2015. Welcome to the Thanksgiving Eve edition of the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman, and I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chetchesko. And Chet, the Eagles just keep giving us more and more to talk about, and none of it seems to be towards getting to the Super Bowl. You were at Lincoln Financial Field Sunday for the butt whipping the Eagles received from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. First, what was your take on the game? And second, what was the environment like at the Link?
Well, I go to one game a year, Bill, and just my luck, that was my one visit to the Link this season. I'll tell you, there was absolutely not the buzz in the stadium that I've witnessed in years past. Even as the players were coming out to start the game, and the game got underway. Yeah, they got excited when Josh Huff scored that touchdown to finish off the opening drive and give the Birds an early lead. But then the Bucs came back and tied it up right away. And Lane Johnson was right about this. There were lots of boos even at that point when the Bucs made it 7-7 and then when the Eagles went 3-and-out. And, of course, as the game went on and Tampa Bay went up by 2-3 touchdowns, it got pretty ugly. That nine-and-a-half-minute drive to open the second half and make it 35-14, well, that did send a huge chunk of the crowd home with 5.5 minutes left in the third quarter. Worst in-person loss in my four decades of going to Eagles games. It was not a whole lot of fun.
Well, you know, the announcers on the TV even made the comment, I believe it was when it went to 14-7, that you could hear a pin drop in the stadium. And, you know, I thought I saw as bad as it could get when I saw the Dallas game earlier in the year live, but I think you outdid me on this one.
Yeah, and it's understandable that fans are fed up. I mean, there were lots of high expectations going into this season, predictions of 10-6, 11-5, even 12-4. And obviously things have just not gone well. The Birds haven't played a complete game yet this entire season, and they're now coming off two supposedly sure wins that instead were a disappointing loss to Miami, and then that Bucs slaughter, followed by reports of some in-house name-calling, reports that Kelly is losing the team, perhaps. Lane Johnson, as I mentioned, complaining about the fans booing, etc. It's a real bad scene right now.
Yeah, well, you know, I know you went to the game with your buddies, Dennis Malloy and Mike Barnes, and Mike will be joining us here in just a couple minutes to talk about the Barkan Family Healing Hearts Foundation that he's associated with and what they have going on for the holiday season. So I'll ask him directly, but what was Denny thinking about this debacle? Was a lot of head shaking coming from him?
Yeah, like me, Denny's a longtime Eagles fan. He's among those who's laying most or all of this on Chip Kelly, the offseason moves he made as a rookie general manager, the inability to make moves in season when guys aren't getting it done. Chip's insistence on keeping his quarterback in the shotgun most of the time, even when it's not working. Denny and a lot of folks are just about ready to jump off the Chip ship.
Well, as I mentioned, we have Mike Barnes of the Barkan Family Healing Hearts Foundation with us tonight. Mike, welcome to the show.
Happy Thanksgiving, Bill and Jim. How are you guys this evening?
All right, Mike.
Hanging in there? Doing great, Mike.
Doing all right.
Doing great. Yeah, I'm glad to finally get to talk to you one time. At the time you were on with Chet, I was not on, so it's great to finally get to talk to you.
You too, Bill, and I hope you're doing well. And, you know, it's a tough time to be an Eagles fan, but I think we put things into perspective during the Thanksgiving and the holiday season. And for me personally, today was a very special day. And the Barkan Foundation was a part of a Thanksgiving dinner donation that was donated by Bobby Shea. Bobby owns several restaurant locations. He's renowned for his crab cakes. And we just got done delivering Thanksgiving dinners to many families. And today was awesome. So we all love our Eagles football, but, you know, I think when we talk about Thanksgiving and the holiday season, it's all about perspective. So what a day today was for so many people. So I'm on a very positive vibe right now. So
that's fantastic. Well, hey, we're going to get back to you and talk a little bit more about the what Michael Barkan and the family do. But but what I wanted to ask you first, talking a little bit about the game, and I asked Chet this, and you were there. What was your take on the game? And second, what was your thought of the environment at the link on Sunday?
Sure. I mean, I think Sunday was a culmination of what the season's been all about. And, you know, I think we've all seen that there's been a lack of talent on the field. Going into the season in August, you know, obviously we all had high expectations. And Jim said that the stadium was flat. And after the Miami game, people were coming into the game. And it's almost like you have to manufacture right now your energy for Eagles football. I know Jim knows me very well. I like to do Eagles chants wherever I go. I feel like right now I have to manufacture my energy. I love Eagles. I mean, I don't think you'll find anybody on this planet that bleeds green like I do. I love the Philadelphia Eagles. But right now, there's something missing. And quite frankly, on Sunday, I never leave early. My wife and I left, I would say, in the beginning of the fourth quarter because we just, you know, you pay $40 to park and, you know, it's, you put a lot of effort and money. I mean, for us, we had to get a babysitter to watch our children. And it's just not, this season has not been a lot of fun. And Sunday was a reflection of the season. And the wheels are coming off the wagon, you know, as we speak. And it's just, we've been down this road before with this organization. And I'm sure we'll talk about that. But Sunday, you know, it was a very dark day at Lincoln Financial Field. And I've been at some tough losses over many years, and I would say Sunday was one of the toughest because of the way that it happened. And Jim was absolutely right. I haven't seen a crowd as lethargic and lackless, and rightfully so, as it was on Sunday at the link.
Yeah, I hung in there till there were about 4 minutes left in the game. I guess I'm a real martyr. I don't know, but it was a tough day for sure. Mike, we're going to talk more football in just a moment. We'll try to solve all of these many Eagle problems, but we do want to make sure to hear what you've got going on with the Barkan Family Healing Hearts Foundation. You were on Philly Press Box Radio last February, but refresh our memories. We know the Barkan Foundation was started by Michael Barkan and his wife Ellen, but exactly what is the mission of the foundation and what's going on as we move head-on into the holiday season?
Well, I mean, what Michael and Ellen have done, and not – you know, we're a small foundation. We just celebrated our third anniversary. And what they've done is created a foundation with their family being a big part of it. And what they've done is they've welcomed the community to join their family in supporting local families who are battling different types of adversity, whether it's a child with cancer, whether it's a police officer that was shot in the line of duty. And currently, as we speak, we have 8 families that we're supporting through our Holiday Hearts program. We provide financial assistance for all of these families, and we couldn't do it without the support of all of the community, all of our volunteers, all of our donors, and they're our family. And that's what makes up the Barkan Family Healing Hearts Foundation. And what Michael and Alan have done has created a forum, if you will, for people to get together, and it's very simple. We have events throughout the year, and we get together, we have fun, but most importantly, everybody knows who comes to the event, why they're there, and you have days like today when you're delivering Thanksgiving dinners to these very special families who are enduring and overcoming so much. It's not about, and what I love about Michael and Alan, they don't make it about their family. They make it about the Healing Hearts family. And Jim, you're a big part of that. And Bill, I hope that you get to come to one of our events. But Jim has been with us for years, and you've supported us and me throughout my career. And I think you know what, you know, the positivity that is drawn, especially in 2015 with all that we have going on in this world. I think Michael and Alan have made it very simple. We're going to get together. We're going to have fun. We're going to make a difference. And we're going to do it locally. And that's kind of the recipe that we have set up right now.
And some of the events you have coming up, I know you have a ladies' shopping night, you have some caroling, and then a big holiday party, particularly for kids on December 6th. So tell me about some of the specifics.
Yes, next Sunday, December 6th, Play 2 at Chickie and Pete's in South Philadelphia. That is our Holiday Hearts holiday party. We will have all of the families that we're supporting come out to Play 2 at 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll give them gift cards, toys, which a lot of charities do, but our foundation is predicated on financial support. So those families will also receive a nice check from the Holiday Hearts program through the foundation, and that's next Sunday. I have the foundation has 13 events between now and December 19th centering around this Holiday Hearts program. So I'd just like to say thank you to my wife, Heather, who Jim knows very well, who allows me to be a part of this because it really is a lot, and it's the community. And so we have our Caroling for Hearts, where children and their families go throughout their neighborhoods, their respective neighborhoods, and carol, and they raise money. They go door to door, and you know, families give donations to the carolers. That's our Caroling for Hearts program. The Canary family, Julie Smith Canary, was very instrumental in starting that. And then, obviously, you mentioned Jim. Monday night, we decided to get the ladies together. It's Cyber Monday. So the Continental Tavern in Yardley, Bucks County, we have about 100 women that are coming out to do their holiday shopping. And a bulk of those proceeds from the shopping that they do that evening, on Monday evening, will go to the Barcan Foundation, all of the, you know, to the families that we're supporting through Holiday Hearts. So, like I said, our calendar is loaded, and that's not because of what we do. It's because of what our community of supporters do. And we're so grateful to them. And you talk about Thanksgiving. I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about my family, but I'm also thinking about this community that has gravitated to this mission and is continuing to find a way to give back. So it's very special to be a part of.
Hey, Mike, you mentioned Heather, and by the way, it was a real treat seeing her at the game on Sunday. I know she doesn't come to a whole lot of games, so it was great seeing Heather. And I got to say, you really outkicked your coverage on that one, pal.
Oh, well, thank you. I don't know how to answer that one, Jim, but, you know, I'll let you guys know that Heather asked me out 16 years ago. So,
wow.
So she, we have a wonderful relationship, and it's something that, you know, I was able to marry my best friend, and she's a big part of the Barcan Foundation. But as the only employee of the foundation, you know, sometimes our family has to sacrifice in our own right, and it's Heather that holds us together and, you know, takes care of the children. She works, you know, a good 50 hours a week with her job. And, you know, it's that life is special, and we're all about family, as you know. And, you know, getting back to that family, a big part of our family is Eagles football. And so that's it was nice to have Heather at the game the other day. And, you know, a lot of our, you know, the initial part of our relationship 16 years ago was going to Eagles games at the Vet. And we didn't sit behind the Eagles bench either. We sat and we're stood in the 700 level, which is pretty cool. So.
Nice. Great seeing both you guys on Sunday, and all the best to all of your events with the Barcan Foundation and that holiday party on December 6th. And I guess people can check the website for more information. Is that right?
Absolutely. TheBarcanFoundation.org. Barcan is B-A-R-K-A-N-N, and it's TheBarcanFoundation.org. And please check us out. If you haven't been to one of our events, you know, if you have children, one of the things that really that we love is a lot of families are involved with the foundation. So, I mean, we have people like Lonnie Zimmerman and Bill Schell and, you know, Orange Theory Fitness and Nick and Angela, that whole crew, they've been with us from day one. And it's just it's very special to be a part of. And we'd like to invite everybody who's listening out to be a part of our Healing Hearts family, because you'll love being a part of it.
Okay, Mike. Well, hey, I'm going to put Chet in his favorite hot seat tonight. And I know you've been on the show and you've listened to the show enough to know what the 10-5 hot seat is. So I'm going to do the honors tonight on Mr. Chesko. And if you have time to join him for a few minutes, I feel a good feeling coming on.
I want to talk about this Eagles team. I'm excited to hear everybody's thoughts.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, okay. Well, hey, our shopforkisses.org phone lines are open at 929-477-2855. If you want to ask Chet or Mike or myself a question, or if you just want to talk Eagles, we're wide open tonight. But in the meantime, fellas, I'm going to hit you with just a very simple phrase, and I want to get the first thing that comes to your mind. Don't, you know, keep it somewhat reasonably short, but take a minute to explain yourself as well. And these are going to be very simple questions, and I'm sure you have opinions on them, whether they're good or bad. Okay,
okay.
Mr. Chesko, Eagles 5-5.
What do you mean?
They're 5-5. What do you got to say about it?
No, they're 4-6.
Four and six. Better yet, my mistake.
Come on, man. Very disappointing.
5-5 would put them in first place, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I expected a whole lot more from them this year, and the fact that they lost these last two games is just a real killer. And they have one last chance to salvage the season and maybe turn it around, and that comes in Detroit on Thanksgiving afternoon. Can they do it? I don't know. But so far, as Mike said earlier, it looks like the wheels may be coming off with this crew.
Mike.
Yes.
4-6, Eagles.
As Jim said, very, very disappointing. Going into the season, you know, in August, we had that game against Green Bay. Everything was looking good. Bradford, you know, we saw what he was about, and we thought he would come back from the injury. And quite frankly, you look at the 4-6 record, and I think beyond that, we all can see that the immediate future might not produce a lot of wins, but we're all looking at this team and its level of talent. Where is it going next season and beyond? That's the telltale question. And I think that we could be talking till next Thanksgiving to answer that. And, I think there's a lot of unanswered questions regarding personnel and structure within the Eagles organization. And I think that 4-6 record, you know, it's not good, and it's been very disappointing.
All right, Chet, back to you. The recent injury report has come out. Zach Ertz and Ryan Matthews are out. Sam Bradford, Jason Peters, Jason Kelsey are all questionable for this week's game or for tomorrow's game. What is your take on the final six games?
I'm not optimistic at all after what I've seen the last couple of weeks. I really don't know what to make of this trip to Detroit, but you know they're going to lose to New England. Then they got some tough games after that with Arizona and Buffalo and, of course, the Giants, I guess Washington a second time. None of these games is going to be easy. I do not expect them to make the playoffs. I do not expect them to finish 9-7 or even 8-8 at this point. My optimism has waned and is pretty much gone.
Mike, same question.
I think tomorrow will tell us a lot, and I think tomorrow's game is, I mean, we've been saying since week two, the next week is the most important game of the season, obviously, because they started out 0-2. Tomorrow is a reflection of where the Eagles are tomorrow and where they're going for the rest of the season and probably beyond that, into the off season with a lot of moves that will be made. I'm not sure what to expect tomorrow. I'm not optimistic. Miami and Tampa Bay at home were very winnable games. Detroit has won 2 in a row. They have a lot of injuries, it seems like a lot of flux inside the locker room. Players are talking. So I'm not optimistic. And, you know, I think tomorrow we will know for sure. You know, tomorrow, in all intents and purposes, could end the season for the Eagles with their, you know, at least their possibility of winning the NFC East.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll get to that a little later when we get to our predictions, but I am going to disagree with you both on that. But we'll get to that.
Hmm.
All right, cool. Mike, you're up.
I want to be wrong. Chip. I totally want to be wrong.
Oh, me too.
All right. Mike, you're up. Chip Kelly, the coach.
Chip Kelly, the coach. Right now, as we speak, I am looking at somebody who I thought coming into, you know, his third season with his personnel, his handpicked talent would be, you know, maybe not scoring 35 points a game, but sure as heck not putting up the offensive performances that have gone on the last couple of games. I'm shocked by the lack of ingenuity that this offense is showing. You know, it's his talent. And, you know, I for me personally, and I'm sure we'll get into this, Chip Kelly's not my issue right now. My issue is with Jeffrey Lurie. So Chip Kelly, the coach, unfortunately, I don't see any kind of progress with his in-game calling and, you know, making adjustments. And the offense to me looks very bland, very vanilla. And, you know, I just don't know what our identity is right now on offense or with the team. And he's the captain of the ship.
Chip Kelly, the coach.
Boy, what a disappointment. A lot of people hailed him as a genius when he first came on the scene. They looked so good, you know, that first half of the very first game against Washington in 2013. A couple of 10-6 seasons. You thought, yeah, maybe this guy's going somewhere. But then, you know, with his players this year, he has not done a good coaching job. And I really, really, really expected a lot more. And as Mike alluded to, his in-game decision-making just doesn't seem to be there. He can't seem to adapt when the defenses figure him out. And they clearly have figured out what he's doing pretty quickly. We've heard on multiple occasions this year how the defenses, you know, knew what to expect based on, you know, past performance and tendencies and all of that. So, boy, he is not the genius that a lot of people thought. And if I had to grade him, I'm going to give Chip Kelly, the coach, a C-, and that's being very generous.
Interesting. All right, Chet, right back to you. Chip Kelly, the GM.
I had a hunch that was coming. We had Ray Didinger on the show last week, and he gave Chip a D-plus for his general manager duties. And now after the Miami game, that might even go down a notch or two to D or D-. Let's look at most of those offseason moves. You know, Sam Bradford, Kiko Alonso, the draft choices this year. None of them have really worked out all that well. DeMarco Murray, of course, and the $63 million man, Maxwell. Have any of these guys panned out the way Chip would have hoped? I don't think so. So Chip Kelly, the GM, D-plus from Ray Didinger, D-minus from me this week.
Mike, Chip Kelly, the GM.
Jim asked me this question last time that I was on the round table, and he asked me, would you prefer to have a coach that is also the GM? And I replied, no, I don't like that structure at all. And I think for me as a fan, that's playing out here. What Chip Kelly has done, he's had two seasons of 10 wins, and he's subtracted a lot of talent with LeSean McCoy, Jeremy Maclin obviously going in free agency, DeSean Jackson, even a guy like Boykin and Mathis. That talent has not been replaced. Josh Huff is a prime example. And who did we draft? Give me the guy's name that we drafted 2 years ago that has not, you know, I haven't seen him at all.
Marcus Smith.
That, no wonder I can't remember his name because we just haven't seen him.
Not much.
You know, I personally was not for, it's easy to say now that, you know, we weren't for Chip becoming the GM. I certainly wasn't for it then, and obviously now I would have to say I give Chip Kelly I give him a D-.
We agree.
All right. Hey, Mike, let's go back to you right quick, and since it's a current event, basically, and Chet and I actually had a small little debate on this already. He seems to be much more forgiving than I am at this point, but Lane Johnson. What comes to your mind today about Lane Johnson?
I'll tell you what. I like Lane Johnson, and I actually think Lane has been a stand-up guy throughout the tough times this year. I think he's answered all the questions. Obviously, none of us like the comments that he made the other day. But quite frankly, I think he's a guy that has played, for the most part, very well this season. I think he's given the media his time after games, after tough losses. So I don't want to give him a pass. I mean, I don't like, you know, I think he understands what Philadelphia is all about. I know I think he's gone on a couple of radio shows and apologized for what he said. But for me, I like Lane Johnson. I like the way he's played this year. And, you know, I think he messed up this week. And it's a big deal. But I think for the most part, I think you could find other people to have bigger issues with within on this team than Lane Johnson. So that's where I stand.
Mr. Chesko, Lane Johnson.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way as Mike. I mean, Lane Johnson is a stand-up guy. He's a little frustrated like all of us are. And, you know, when it's 7-7 and you hear the fans booing, that is kind of frustrating, kind of annoying for a player. So he spoke his mind. And, yeah, you don't criticize the fans. That's kind of a cardinal rule. But he did come out and apologize. He went on both the Philly radio stations yesterday and said he was sorry for the way that came out. But, I mean, the guy has shifted from left tackle to right tackle, back and forth, depending on Jason Peters' availability. He's always there for the media. The media tends to go to him to find out, you know, who's getting more of the reps in practice at quarterback, you know, how Jason Peters is coming along, you know, how the running backs are doing. They get answers, in a lot of cases, from Lane Johnson. And I think the guy does play his heart out. So I don't know if it's giving him a pass, but I understand where he's coming from. The guy's frustrated. He said something maybe he shouldn't have, but I'm not going to come down hard on him. The guy goes out and he plays hard every game he's out there.
All right. Okay, we're going to hit one more, then we're going to take our break and thank our sponsor, and then we'll get right back to it. So, Chet, one more for you before the break, and Mike already mentioned it, Jeffrey Lurie.
I'd love to hear more from Jeffrey Lurie. We hear from Jeffrey maybe twice a year. He gives us, like, state of the team address, maybe one other time. I would love to go behind closed doors and hear a conversation between Lurie and Chip Kelly right now, or Lurie and anybody else who he may talk to, you know, in the inner offices at the link. You know, what does he feel about the job Chip Kelly has done since he got the GM duties? What does Ed Manowitz have to do these days? Or is Chip making every single decision? What does Jeffrey Lurie feel about Chip being so darn arrogant about all of his moves and about the way he answers questions with the media? I would love to hear what Lurie's thinking. And, you know, if the wheels do continue to come off this team, how is Lurie going to react? I don't know, but it's going to be a very interesting January if this team finishes, you know, 5-11 or whatever.
Mike, Jeff Lurie.
I'm glad you brought up Jeffrey Lurie, because most of the conversation obviously is going to be dominated about Chip Kelly. And, you know, and that's, he's the head coach of the football of the Eagles. And, but Jeffrey Lurie put him in a position. He hired him because he wanted an innovator. And you know what? I think when you look at a team in the western part of the state, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they have an identity. And I actually am a Jeffrey Lurie. Nobody knows what the Eagles stand for off the field in the community more than I do. I've seen what they do in the Eagles Youth Partnership, what they've done for me, and in my book, they've won 5 Super Bowls. And when he talked about the gold standard, I think you could allude to a lot of the work that's been done in the community, the alumni, the military, you know, tributes. However, on the field, we are in a major, major market in the NFL. Jeffrey Lurie has made a ton of money since he purchased the team several years ago. I guess it's been about 20 years. This team has not won a playoff game in 8 years. Is that correct? I think it's about 8 years.
Seven or eight years.
That's unacceptable. And that stops, and the buck stops, not with Chip Kelly, with Jeffrey Lurie. And Jeffrey Lurie, for me, needs to take a look at his structure, because there's one thing that's been consistent. There has been division within that structure since he has owned the team. And for me, if I could ask Jeffrey Lurie one thing and one thing to have as an Eagles fan, somebody who bleeds green, can we get somebody here like a Ron Jaworski to run the football operations of this franchise? I think that's something that's needed. I think it provides a clear vision. I think it's something that Jeffrey Lurie would actually, you know, it would help him with the fans. And I think, you know, this is what the structure within the Eagles organization is missing. I think we need a football guy running operations with a GM and a coach falling in line. And I think you look to the Steelers and they're, I don't think the Eagles have an identity. They haven't for a long time since Andy Reid left. You know, so I look to Jeffrey Lurie, and I've actually appreciated what he's done. There's been a lot of winning that's gone on, but the last 10 years and the decisions and the divide within the organization, it's time. This organization isn't losing any money, and we've been told time and time again that the NFL is a product, and all of us are paying for the product. This franchise in this city is in the top five, one of the most lucrative franchises in the league. It's time. Jeffrey, I'm a big, big fan of your organization. I applaud everything that you've done, but it's time to get somebody in to run football operations.
All right. Couldn't beat that. Good answer, Mike. Well, hey, Mike, we're going to have to move on and get our other stuff done. And, hey, we appreciate you coming on. Great insight from a fan perspective. And we want to thank you and wish you the best of luck with the Barkan Family Foundation, that you guys have some great things going on.
Thank you. And like I said, I just want to say one last time, I am a fan. Even though I work for Michael, you know, I don't speak for anybody in the media. I am an Eagles fan. And, you know, like I said, the Eagles organization has been incredible in the community, and I am one of their biggest fans. They've been unbelievable to us, the Barkan Foundation. We want them to win. We all want that parade down Broad Street. I think it's now time for Jeffrey Lurie to reanalyze and analyze what's gone on and to make it better. And we can only hope that gets done this offseason. And hopefully in a couple of years we can be talking about how awesome the parade down Broad Street was. So it's been an honor and a pleasure, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your families and to everybody listening.
Mike, one other thing,
right,
before
Mike,
you go, and I put this
I
in the promo.
I can say if you need me, whatever you need. I mean,
oh, really? Well, I do have one thing I want to get to right now. I put this in the promo that I wanted to ask you about. My favorite Temple alumnus is your brother. We talked about him last February, Bill, okay? Great guy. And he's enjoying this Temple football season like nobody else, I'm sure. What are you and he thinking about the season and Temple's prospects for winning the conference and, you know, getting a pretty decent bowl game?
I have a smile when you talk about Temple right now. And you know, when you speak about Bill and so many people that we've known who've supported Temple through some very, very difficult times, to see their reaction now, especially Bill, you know, the day of the Penn State game, Jim, you were there. But I look even further for the university. I think the exposure that they've experienced in the media, through the media, ESPN Game Day, I never, ever thought I would see the day when Philadelphia would have cherry and white, you know, all over the sidewalks for ESPN Game Day. And that day when Temple played Notre Dame was amazing. And it's been great for the university. I think they have a tough test on Saturday night. But looking down the road, I think the one team that I've watched a little bit and that I obviously love and respect, all our uncles went to the Naval Academy, is Navy. And so I think they had a great win the other day, a great bounce-back win against Memphis. We were there. It was a beautiful day. But for everybody that stuck with Temple University football through – some very, very bleak times, this has been special, and I couldn't be happier for Bill Barnes, who, you know, has been, you know, going to games since the Wayne Harden era at Temple Stadium. I mean, we've both gone with my dad, and for me personally, as tough as the Eagles season has been, one of the best days that I've experienced was the win over Penn State. I mean, that was one of the – I actually cried in the link, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, and I thought of my father – and I thought of the many people that we have gotten to know who have passed on, who always said, walking out of so many drubbings, out of Temple Stadium, the Vet, the Link, and then obviously up at Happy Valley, one day we're going to get Penn State. And finally it happened in you know, during Labor Day weekend. And that was one of the best days I've ever experienced as far as Temple University goes. It was amazing. It was very special.
Yeah, Mike, the Temple-Penn State game was a little tough for me as a Nittany Lion alum, but, you know, seeing the joy that it brought your brother, Bill, that was just great because I know how much that meant to him and all the Temple alums. So in the end, I was okay with it.
Well, that's good. I mean, and Penn State, I mean, you guys have had Temple's number for, I guess it's been 74 years. I don't know how many years it was.
74 years, yep.
74 years, but I mean, I think everybody has to be happy for Temple, and you know, they've, you know, and I think Al Golden had a lot to do with the present success. I think Al, Coach Golden was a, you know, he kind of got things rolling, and I think now Matt Rhule has things even to a different level, and he's got to recruit, and I think he's doing so, and you know, he's got to sustain the success that's gone on this year, but it's so refreshing to see a team that plays at the Link playing at the level that Temple is playing with right now. And it's, you know, the defense, the way they play, it's hard-nosed football, and I couldn't be happier for Temple University. And, of course, my awesome brother, Bill Barnes, who, even though he's a Dallas fan, he's one of the most loyal fans that I've ever met of any sports fan I've ever met, even though he's my brother. So, T for Temple U.
All right, Mike, thanks again for joining us. All the best to you and your family for Thanksgiving and the holidays, and, of course, to all the Barkan Foundation crew and all the events coming up with the Barkan Foundation. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, Mike. Bye-bye. Thanks. All right, Jed, let's get our trivia question out here. We're running a few minutes late, but we can catch it up, okay? It's for the first correct answer wins an autographed 8x10 photo of pro and college football Hall of Famer, Notre Dame Heisman Trophy winner, and Green Bay Packers Super Bowl champion Paul Hornung, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles, to the first person that calls in and correctly answers our trivia question. Our shopforkisses.org phone line to answer that question is 929-477-2855. And Chet, this one, you got to think a little bit about this one, I think, but if you count your fingers and your toes, you might have a chance. And I'm not even going to ask for names. This is just a number. I'm looking for a number. Okay? So, here you go. As of today, how many Oregon Ducks are presently on the Eagles roster? That's as of today, how many Oregon Ducks are presently on the Eagles roster? Again, our shopforkisses.org phone number to answer the trivia question is 929-477-2855. Chet, I'm gonna let you catch your breath. You've been working hard today. Well, I just been throwing out the question. So let's take a break. We'll thank our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. All right, Chet, as we wait for hopefully some trivia answers to come through, I'm going to go back to the question and answer and see if I can beat you up just a little bit more and see what you're thinking. I got to get all this out of you so you can enjoy your Thanksgiving.
All right.
All right. Same thing, but just you answering. What comes to your mind when you hear three-headed monster?
Three-headed monster. Sounds like a good horror film, but I'm assuming you're talking about the Eagles' three running backs, which weren't so monstrous this season. DeMarco Murray, Darren Sproles, Ryan Matthews. It has not worked out quite the way we thought. Apparently in the NFL today, you really don't need a three-headed monster. You need one high-quality running back. And right now, the Eagles aren't getting great play from any one of the three. Three-headed monster, overblown idea. It's a thing of the past. I just want to see one quality guy who's consistent and can do the job every week, and right now we don't have that.
All right. Next on the list, right into your wheelhouse with this one, Sam Bradford.
Oh, boy. Didn't like the move when it happened last winter or early spring. Not crazy about it today. On the other hand, he was starting to play better. The Dallas game and the Miami game up until he got hurt, he was actually looking pretty decent. He was throwing the ball with a little more zest. He didn't have any interceptions in those two games, I don't believe. He looked like he was in better sync with the receivers. So I was starting to think, you know, maybe, just maybe, this will work out this season. Then he gets hurt, and now he's probably not playing on Thanksgiving. He's still officially listed as just questionable, but I doubt that he's going to be starting. And then, unfortunately, when he does come back, presumably healthy, 10 days later, it's against the New England Patriots up in Foxborough. So that's a tough task for anyone. But overall, a disappointment in terms of Sam Bradford's play. But he was showing some signs, and the five games after this week that are left on the Eagles' schedule, the five games left in the 2015 season are going to tell us, you know, whether Sam Bradford is the quarterback of the immediate future for this team or whether he will be sent packing in March.
All right. Well, hey, couple more I want to get to. I'm going to cut this list a little bit short, but something, a couple I want to get to. The 2015 draft. What comes to your mind about that?
Ooh. Jordan Hicks, a real standout, a real find at, you know, third overall or a third round pick. Nobody expected him to step in and play right away. It happened out of necessity when the other linebackers were hurt. And lo and behold, he comes in, I guess, week three and plays pretty well and becomes a regular guy in the rotation and plays great. Keep in mind, the Birds had lost two games before that, and then when he got hurt in the Dallas game, they lost two games after that. So when Jordan Hicks hasn't been part of it, the Eagles are 0-4. So, you know, for a rookie, he was a pretty big impact player on that Eagles defense, and they miss him immensely. So he's the guy that really comes to mind. As for the rest of the 2015 draft, pretty disappointing at this point.
I agree. Okay, here's one that I know you had real high hopes on early in the year. I want to see if you still have high hopes as we're going into the last third of the year. Eagles front seven.
Boy, I thought they were going to be great this season. And, you know, for the first part of the year, that was definitely one of the strengths. Fletcher Cox and Cedric Thornton and Benny Logan and those guys up front were doing the job. They had one of the best run defenses in the league. I think they got as high as number three. But now, ever since the Carolina game, they've gotten worse and worse in terms of, you know, stopping the run. And, of course, they just got torched by Tampa Bay this past Sunday, 250 yards or whatever the heck it was on the ground. Disappointing what's happened there. I mean, in this last game, the inside linebackers had only three tackles, and you had one running back rushing for 235 yards. That's just pathetic. So the front seven got off to a real good start, and I thought it was going to be a major strength of this team. I still like the players for the most part, but overall they are trending downward, and I'm not liking what I'm seeing in recent weeks from the front seven.
Okay, last Eagles question. Crystal ball. You are where you are right now, and it is time for the 2016 draft. What position are you going to draft in the first round, understanding that you don't have a second-round pick?
I'm going to take the very, very best offensive lineman who is out there. That line is a huge concern right now. Chip Kelly and company did not address it at all the last two drafts. I mean, ever since Lane Johnson in Kelly's first year, they haven't drafted a lineman, and clearly they are missing a lot of talent on the O-line. So that's got to be addressed immediately. I know they could use more help with receivers, but, you know, maybe you get lucky and find somebody in the third round or through free agency. In the draft, you go for an offensive lineman, make sure he's a good one, and maybe consider finding another one via free agency, because you got to protect the quarterback and get that running game going.
Okay. Well, we're going to jump off the Eagles, and I'm going to just ask you one other question on a different topic. excuse me, as we get ready to move on. The Sixers, you thought they were going to win last week. They didn't. 0-15. Three more games before the end of the month. Are they going to win a game before December 1?
You know, they almost won a couple of games in the meantime. Couldn't hold on to fourth quarter leads in either occasion. I kind of feel bad for them. The answer to your question, nah, they're not going to win any of these next three, Boston, Houston, or Memphis. They will be 0-18. The good news is December 1st, the Lakers come to town. Sixers in recent years have played pretty well against the Lakers, even when the Lakers were still a pretty decent team. Right now, the Lakers are almost as bad as the Sixers, and the Sixers will get that first win on December 1st at the Wells Fargo Center.
All right, mark it down, mark it down. Well, hey, let's move on to our Philly Press Box Radio Pick'em Pool winner this week was Bob Irvin. Bob had a 10-win week to take the honors, and Bob isn't with us tonight. He's at a Thanksgiving get-together already, so we want to congratulate him on his weekly win. And, hey, Chet, Carl Henderson's lead is dwindling, but he's hanging on. He's got a one-game lead over Danny Bevins, two games over Terry House and Ed Chambers, while you, Mr. Chet Jesko, are just four games back and dreaming that beautiful signed full-size Eagles Brian Dawkins helmet in your collection.
I've just been toying with you guys all season, Bill. I'm still very much in the hunt, obviously, and I've learned, finally, not to pick the Eagles every week. So I'm going to start picking out a spot in my man cave for that Dawkins helmet.
All right. Well, hey, Jimmy Wilson and Mike Furman are just five back. There are six players within 10 games. And, you know, I think it's pretty safe to say that everyone's used up their drop week, you know, because everybody's had a bad week somewhere along the way. So you know, if you have one more bad week, everything shifts because you can't drop it. So we're at the 2/3 mark of the season. There's still 6 weeks left and a lot of ball to be played, a lot of picks to be made, and a lot's going to happen here before we're through.
I'm ready.
All right. We'll see, because Danny Boy's talking it up. He thinks he's laying and waiting, just ready to take his thing over.
He's all talk.
Oh, yeah. Hey, and Carl, speaking of Carl's cards, Carl Henderson and Carl's cards of collectibles, they finished their in-the-store signings for the year, but they are stocked with every kind of Philadelphia sports memorabilia you might want for Jet. And, you know, Carl's running Black Friday sales, small business sales. He's already got great prices to begin with. So I'm talking to him about a few things I might need to add to my collection. I just don't know where I'm going to put them all, but if you get a chance, or our listeners get a chance, swing by Carl's Cards and Collectibles at 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA, 19083 if you're putting it into your GPS, or give Carl a call at 610-789-4996. You can also visit his website, carlscards.com, or contact him on Twitter at Carl's Cards. Well, Chet, we're catching up on our time a little bit, and it's time for us to make our Eagles Fearless Prediction of the Week. Up tomorrow, as we said, the Detroit Lions in Detroit on Turkey Day. You're up.
I've picked the Eagles all season long, but I just can't do it right now. Too many signs that all is not well with Chip's guys, and as Mike and I both alluded to earlier, the wheels look like they are coming off. Now, the good news, the Eagles, I think, are still perfect on Thanksgiving. I think they're something like 6-0 over the years. They beat the Cowboys last year. They beat the Cardinals several years ago. The bad news, this Eagles team is just not real good. My prediction, not that the Lions are good either, but my prediction, the Lions beat the Eagles 27-20.
Well, I'll tell you what, I posted the other day I was going to be the first one out of the gate that says the Eagles are going to show some pride. They're going to come out and they're going to play well. And I am going to stick with that, but I'll tell you what, just during the show, seeing this injury report, if Peters and Kelce, one or the other, can't go, my goodness, it would be like putting that AAA roster out there that the Phillies put out. But yeah. I'm going to stick with 23-20 Eagles. I just certainly hope that these guys play, or it could be a very long afternoon no matter who the Eagles would be playing.
You are correct. Yeah, they need those guys. If they're going to have a shot at this game, they need that offensive line to play and play pretty well.
You're right. Okay, well, we're caught up. Chet, time for your parting shot of the week, and I actually have one myself this week.
Do you ever watch The Tonight Show, Bill?
Sure.
All right. Well, if you're a fan of The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and I am, you know he sends out thank you notes right from his desk every Friday night. Well, on this Thanksgiving Eve, here are my thank yous. Thank you, Ruben Amaro, for making some pretty decent baseball trades before you got fired. We look forward to seeing you standing in the first base coach's box at Fenway next season. Thank you, Jordan Hicks, an Eagles 2015 rookie who actually can play and who knocked Tony Romo out of action for 8 weeks. Thank you, Shane Gostisbehere. You very quickly jumped above Casper as my favorite ghost, and one of these days I'll actually learn how to spell your last name. Thank you, Brett Brown and Jahlil Okafor, for resisting the urge to jump off the Walt Whitman Bridge. I promise, better days are ahead, eventually. And thank you, Ray Didinger, Mark Eckel, Kevin Cooney, Mike Sielski, Brandon Gouten, Tom Moore, Mike Reichenbach, Kevin Riley, Mike Barnes, and our other guests this fall for continuing to make the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable so much fun every week. And that goes for you as well, Mr. Furman.
And back at you, Mr. Chesko. It's been a lot of fun, and I certainly have enjoyed it. And I wish my best to you and your family tomorrow as well as all of our listeners, of course.
Thank you, Bill. And very quickly, one add-on thank you. This is a late addition. Thank you in advance to our very special guest for next week's program, the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, Merrill Reese, joining us here on the big show.
Woo! And that is a Thanksgiving to me, too, because that is a surprise to me as well.
Yep.
So
I certainly
am happy
you with that.
About that.
There you go.
Good deal. Good deal. All right. Well, my parting shot is a little bit different, and it doesn't have anything to do with Philadelphia, actually. And I'm not even going to pick on the brutal officiating that just continues to get worse and worse. But what I am going to talk about very briefly is I'm going to have an opportunity this weekend. I leave tomorrow, and I'm going to be going to Cozumel, Mexico. And while I'm there, I'm going to see my son, Mike, compete among thousands of world-class athletes in the Ironman Triathlon. And for those that don't know what that is, it's a 2.4-mile swim, 120-mile bike, and 26.2-mile run. There are thousands of participants, and it is probably, Chet, the greatest event that I've ever been able to go see. As you come to the finish line, and Mike is a competitor, so he finishes and he races, and I'm very proud of him for what he does and how hard he works at this. But there are many people that you watch cross the finish line who are doing it for whatever reasons. It's a battle for cancer. It's a battle for a fundraiser for a loss of a family member. There's many, many reasons. And, you know, when you go to these events, you think you're going to see all these lean and mean athletes. And what you see is you see old people, you see young people, you see fat people, you see skinny people, you see people with no feet, you see people with no arms who are competing on those iron leg type things, and they swim. There was a blind man that competed in the last one and finished it as they had another person tethered to them throughout the entire event. It is just a very, very special event to see. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Mike doing well, but I'm also just looking forward to the opportunity to go see probably the most amazing sports event I've ever seen. And I'm really looking forward
to
that.
Sounds great. You know, great to be hanging with your family members as well. So have a blast and really enjoy your time out there. Down there.
I am ready to go. I'm ready to go. First thing in the morning, we're on the plane. All right, Chet. And as we said, before we close out the show, I want to thank you and your, or wish you and your family, as well as all of our listeners, a very happy and safe Thanksgiving, and especially out there traveling. It is a huge travel weekend, and they said traveling is up even more than ever.
Yeah, be safe, everybody. Have a great holiday, and enjoy yourself. But, you know, stay safe and come back and join us again next week.
All right, Chet. Well, as we get to the top of the hour, let's thank our special guest, Mike Barnes of the Barkan Family Healing Hearts Foundation, Carl's Cards and Collectibles for the continuing support of the show, Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chetchesco, this is Bill Furman, hoping you enjoy the show, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio on Wednesday, December the 2nd at 7 p.m. with the voice of the Eagles, Merle Reese. You can listen through our Facebook page or on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio, and now on both iTunes and Stitcher. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.